Hello. In this edition of Talking Europe, we continue to bring you coverage of the fourth anniversary of the war in Ukraine. Prospects for peace seem distant. There isn't even a ceasefire agreement at the moment. And over the past year, the fraught relationship between Europe and the Trump administration has made things a lot more difficult and unpredictable. Meanwhile, combined Ukrainian and Russian casualties could reach close to 2 million this spring. That's according to the Washington-based Center for Strategic and International Studies. Our guest is Ukraine's ambassador to the EU, Vsevolod Chentsov, a veteran diplomat. He's been in this crucial post since August 2021, and he joins me from Brussels today. Welcome to the program, Ambassador. We spoke in Brussels on the first anniversary, and here we are 3 years later, with no peace in sight. Did you always feel that this situation was going to go on for years, perhaps many years? Was that always your gut feeling?
Well, we are fighting for peace. We are fighting for Ukrainian victory in a broad sense, and we don't count days. We try to mobilize all possible support of our European allies. We succeeded to do quite a lot since the beginning of this Russian full-fledged aggression. The unity of Europe is there. The European Union supports Ukraine financially, militarily, and the role of the European Union, which is my responsibility to work with the European institutions, member states, cannot be underestimated. So this is probably a crucially important ally for Ukraine.
And of course,
the importance of the EU is growing.
Yeah, and of course, the EU has been quite important this winter because it's a particularly harsh winter and you've had a lot of disruptions of electricity, water, heating and so on because of the missile attacks. And this is actually also a time when you're having, I think, some issues with depleted stocks in terms of missile defense. So the EU support this winter is quite important, isn't it?
That's true. And it's a very difficult combination. The very low temperatures in Kyiv, as you said, depleted stock of the of the missiles to hit Russian ballistic missiles and drones, and yes, also here in the EU, our partners and simple people, they had to join forces again to help Ukraine to withstand this pressure. Mm. And we feel again this feeling of strong support and solidarity with Ukraine. And only for energy, EU managed to mobilize for energy support since February 22, more than 3 billion euro. So I'm talking about emergency purchases, generators, transformers, and so on.
We had a few days ago inconclusive talks between Ukrainian and Russian negotiators in Switzerland. These were, of course, direct contacts organized by the US. Do you expect anything at all from future rounds of talks like that one?
Well, it's important that those talks continue, but it's also important to increase the pressure on Russia. I mean, the sanction pressure, international isolation, but also to support Ukraine militarily. This is a crucial thing now. And in this sense, the $90 billion loan, Ukraine support loan, is a new instrument to cover our needs in 2026 and 2027. It was a very important development. Which means that around 60 billion from this loan will be allocated to support Ukrainian defense, both for Ukraine defense industry and also European defense industry. But what is very important that Ukraine will be able to use the instrument in a quite a flexible way, which means that we will be able to defend Ukraine.
I'll come back to the loan ambassador. I just wanted to make a quick point because you talk about, putting pressure on Russia. Is the Trump administration actually doing the opposite? Because when you look at U.S. financial assistance to Ukraine over the past year, according to the Kiel Institute tracker, it's actually gone down to almost zero. So is the Trump administration not putting the pressure, but quite the opposite? And has this undermined trust between Kiev and Washington?
It's difficult for me to comment on what the U.S. administration is doing. So I hope that this transatlantic unity will remain. And these days, our colleagues in the institutions and member states, they are talking to the U.S. administration, for instance, how to coordinate additional sanction pressure on the Russian shadow fleet. And we are talking about the total ban on maritime transportation. So there is a coordination between EU and US. And definitely, we also try to encourage our US partners to put the pressure on Russia.
You mentioned, Ambassador, that of course, this very important 90 billion euro European loan to Ukraine. But if I understand it rightly, your funding needs over 2 years are actually not 90 billion, but 130 billion euros. So what do you think Ukraine is going to do in terms of plugging this gap?
So the idea is that EU covers a significant part of our needs, but definitely other partners are supposed to chip in, and we are working hard with the rest of G7 partners, and there were quite successful meetings recently in Brussels. Our defense minister Fedorov was here meeting both in the EU institutions and in the Rammstein format, and as I understand, there were quite important commitments taken by our partners who feed in.
I'd like to ask you about your EU membership process. The EU talks about front-loading your efforts to join the bloc. Where exactly are you in the whole membership process?
Well, we are moving fast, and we try not to lose any moment on this path. And you mentioned front loading. What does it mean in practice? That in spite of the fact that one member state blocked the opening of the formal opening of the cluster one, cluster one is the so-called fundamentals, we managed to find a way together with the European Commission and the Council Secretariat to move forward and to do basically all technical work, not only on the first cluster, but other clusters, to be ready to double down as soon as we will be able to overcome this political blockage.
So you're talking about Hungary, obviously, but is there actually a plan now, a firm plan to sidestep the Hungarian veto? Because we know that was being floated by the EU Council and the European Commission.
Well, definitely it's important to find a way out. But as I said, we do our job, meaning that on the technical level, we need to be prepared. And based on this technical information provided by the member states, we are preparing our national plan of adaptation of Ukrainian legislation to the key. So the whole idea is to move forward, to get prepared, and to move fast as soon as this political issue will be solved.
Of course, the EU also underlines the importance of rule of law reforms in Ukraine. And recently, the Ukrainian Anti-Corruption Agency accused a former minister of energy of laundering millions of dollars. The positive spin on this, of course, has been that it shows that anti-corruption mechanisms are actually working in Ukraine. But is this also a sign of a deeper structural problem?
Look, the the situation is very clear. Ukraine created the very strong infrastructure of anti-corruption bodies. They're independent, they're working. And if we have high caliber cases and really big investigations in Ukraine, it means that the system is functional. And I think this approach is shared both by the institutions and the member states.
Ambassador, on a final point, there's a controversy about Russian and Belarusian Paralympians competing under their flags in Milan. Of course, your government has been very vocal about this. Is there a diplomatic normalization of Russia happening, do you think?
Well, we don't see any reason for this diplomatic normalization, including in the domain of international sport events. So it's very symbolic. And Russia need to be isolated, as well as Belarus helping Russia in this war of aggression against Ukraine. And only after Russia changes behavior, the attitude to this country may change.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for being our guest on Talking Europe, Ambassador Vsevolod Chensov, the Ukrainian ambassador to the European Union. Thank you very much. That's all for this edition of Talking Europe. Glad you could join us.